I like me.
This is Dr. Herbert Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. I like me. This seems to be a very difficult thing for many people. We tell them the three phrases, I like me, I am divine order, I am peace. If they can say that and make that theirs and live that, then all their fears and all their unhappinesses and all their anxieties and everything are put gone with the wind. Now, I like me. Just what does I like me mean? You don't need to know what I like me means. The minute you start thinking of what I like me means, then you're limited. The minute you start thinking of what I like me means, you say, it means I like myself when I'm not nice. I like myself when I have problems. I like myself when the world is tough. And I'm supposed to like myself at times like that. Now, your mother and father have taught you some of the fundamentals of life. And the first fundamental that they should have taught you is, if they tell you something, then that's gospel. That's what you got to believe. That's what you got to follow and do. If I tell you to come here, you come here. You don't make up your mind and come when you damn well please, you see? When I say go clean your room, I don't mean tomorrow. Okay? I mean today, right now, right this minute. You go clean your room. When I say sit in your chair, I mean sit in your chair. I sound like a dictator, but I'm not really. I'm just a mother who hasn't time to discuss with you the reasons why you should sit in your chair when I ask you to sit in your chair. You're a little baby. You're climbing out of your chair. And I say, sit, sit, sit. Down, relax, relax, quiet now. And the baby says, Mother, why must I sit in my chair? The baby is 3 months old. Why must I sit in my chair? I don't want to sit in my chair. I have to go potty, and I'd like to go in the bathroom, and you don't even pay any attention to me. You just tell me to do it in my pants. You know, you don't pay any attention to me. Mother, you don't understand me. Now, does the baby say that? The baby doesn't have the capacity to say that. So the mother must, in her intuitive and gentle, loving way, insist that the baby do what she asked the baby to do. Now, she's not always successful in getting it through to him, but if she is persistent, he will follow through. If she is persistent and never makes an excuse for not letting him do or letting him get away with something, then the child will learn very quickly. Rex, I trained very poorly. In the beginning, instead of my saying, Rex, come, and then making sure he came, Rex, come, make sure he comes, I didn't do that. I called him, and if he didn't come, well, then I went and got him, or I did something else, but I didn't stand true on one principle, one alone, say, Rex, when I say come, that means you come, and there is no discussion. And if I say, Rex, sit, that means you sit, and there's no discussion. You may be about to walk off the curb in front of a car, and I say, Rex, sit. I don't want to. I can do my damn place. I'm going to go. And crunch, there goes the end of Rex, you know. So if Rex is taught to sit, to obey instantly whatever he is told to do, it makes a much better relationship between his trainer and himself, or his master and himself. A child that learns to follow the directions of its parent, the simple directions, the directions that are so definite, then everything in life for that child will be a piece of cake. You find that your most excellent students in school are the most excellent children at home. They follow their parents' advice. They follow their parents' suggestions or statements or requests without a single question. They just do it. When their parent says, sit down, they sit down. Yes, Mom, what did you have in your mind? I don't want to sit down. I'm going to get it. See, the children who argue like that are the children who were allowed to get away with it in their earlier years. And they had never learned discipline. They had never learned self-discipline. You have to decide that when your mother says sit, you're going to sit. You have to decide that when your mother says sit, that you just tell her to spit in your eye and you get up and do as you please, you see? Whatever you choose. Now, what you have learned in your early years in your self-discipline goes with you all your life. It goes with you in your school where your teacher says, say, 2 times 2 is 4. And you say, 2 times 2 is 4? What's a 2 and what's a 2 and what's a times? You know, I don't understand that. And if you say you did understand it, you're pulling my leg, because you didn't. None of us understood what those things were when we were first given them. We had no idea. They were beyond our ken, and they probably are beyond the ken of the teacher who's teaching it to us. But the teacher knows that that is what has to be done to know the mathematics program. And so if she can encourage us to do that, then we will be self-disciplined. Now, what a wonderful blessing it would be if every child were able to learn that self-discipline, were able to do the noise, were able to do the things that their parents asked them to do without discussion, you know? But the parents hadn't learned to do that when they were children. And their parents hadn't learned to do that when they were children. And their parents, only in exceptional families where parents have learned to, you know, have self-discipline, follow the directions of their parents, do they bring that to their children. It's not, Rex does not think that I am being mean to him when I take him on the leash. Rex does not think I'm being mean to him when I pull him away from a bush and I'm walking along. He thinks the leash is pulling him away from the bush. He doesn't think it's me. He doesn't think I would ever pull him away from a bush. And so he comes with me. He comes with the leash. You know? And this is true. This is true. And you see, the blame is put on the leash. Now, when we use techniques to get Rex to do things, then the technique now becomes the training tool. And if the technique becomes a training tool and you don't have any cookies in your hand, he's going to say, you don't have any cookies in your hand. I can tell, you know, I'm not going to come. I'm not going to do what you want. He must learn to do what we want for his benefit at every time we tell him. And so it is with children. They must learn to do whatever it is the parent asks them to do, not because the parent is a mean old person saying, you know, you're a bad child if you don't do it and stuff like that, but because the parent just says, hey, do this. So, now, let's get down to our brass tacks. People come to us for healing and wholeness, and they say, I want to be healed. I'd like to be rich, you know. I'd like to have a whole body, you know. I'd like to be Mr. Macho, Miss Macho, you know, whoever. I'd like to be able to see beautifully. I'd like to be able to do all these things greatly. And I say, well, I'm sorry, but it's not in the cards for you. What do you mean it's not in the cards for me? Well, you learned the wrong language. You learned the language of non-discipline. And in the language of non-discipline, things don't happen in your life that are beneficial to you. Things happen that are non-beneficial because you put your concentration on the non-beneficial things. You put your concentration on the fact that it won't work. You put your concentration on the fact that you're poor. You put the concentration on the fact that you look in the mirror and you say, my God, look at all those wrinkles. Instead of looking in the mirror and say, what a beautiful face, what a lovely smile, what a gorgeous being, you know? And hey, it's up to you. You're the one who is with a lack of self-discipline. Now, people who have self-discipline, and I say to them, okay, this is the program. I like me. I'm divine order. I'm peace. And they say, yes, sir. Sounds like a good program to me. I'm going to put it in motion. It sounds like a good program to me. See, it doesn't say, what does it mean? Why must I say that? What is the benefit of it? You know? Mm-hmm. The minute you start questioning, the minute a child starts questioning what a parent tells them, it's lost. It's lost. And then you say, because I said so. And the child says, yeah. And then, but that's what the child wants to hear. The child wants to hear the parents say, you behave because I said so. You behave because I asked you to do it. You behave because it's the thing to do. You behave because I said it, you know. And so, as the shift takes place in our life, which it does, from mama to me, from M to M, you know, from mama to me, when it shifts from mama to me, from mama saying, you do it because I tell you, to me saying, I do it because I tell me, you see, then we are starting to grow up. Then we are starting to mature. But we have learned self-discipline with our mama, with our daddy, with our whoever. They tell us to do something, yes, sir, that's what we'll do. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm not asking you, right? I'm just saying, yes, sir, I will do that. Right, I will do that, as the child is saying to the teacher. And it's good of you to say it, too. But the point is, people come into this philosophy, and they say, my goodness, look at all these beautiful people. Look at all this lovely, quiet attitude here at the ranch here, and how the University of Healing is such a joyous place, and such a peaceful place, and such a wonderful place. Oh, my. And boy, am I going to manipulate people up there? Am I going to twist them around my little finger? Because they're such wimps. They're such easy touches. You know what I mean? Because they're such gentle, loving, caring, sensitive people, you know. Uh-huh. So, then people come up here, and I say to them, or they say to me, I would be whole and well. And I'd say, okay. Say, I like me. I'm divine order. I said, I want to be whole and well. Now say, give me a treatment that says I'm whole. Why is your whole and well? Every organ, action, function, body is whole and well. Well, say it with me, because I want your vibrations to say it with me. I say, okay. My vibrations don't mean a thing. My vibrations mean a lot to me, but not to you. Your vibrations mean a lot to you. I might have a charisma that helps you go along a pathway that you might not have otherwise chosen, but the thing is, you have to go that path yourself. I can merely show you the way. And if you don't go that path, nothing happens in your life. So people say, well, I've been saying I like me, and I've been saying it now for months and months and months, and nothing's happening. Of course, you're fighting it all the way. I like me, I wish, I like me, I wish, I like me, I wish. I like me, but I have halitosis. I like me. I got big feet. I got like me. Got yeah, you know, you name it. Okay, I don't want to name anything important. Okay, now they say I like me. And they say it doesn't work. Well, hey, you have never learned to self-discipline yourself, and I am giving you the opportunity now to self-discipline yourself, to tell yourself I like me. Now, I'm going to say to Sylvia here. That's a very mean question I'm going to say to Sylvia. Sylvia, who's in charge of your body? Who's in charge of your affairs? Is it Sylvia, or is it the divine in you? Naturally, you're going to say the divine in me. But is it Sylvia? And yes, it's Sylvia. You see, that's where your trouble is. You're letting this insignificant wimp. You know, we are all insignificant wimps. It's our divine self that's a great business. But you're letting this insignificant, unexperienced wimp called Sylvia tell you that you're sick or you're well, or tell you that you're a little bit wealthy, or you don't want this, but you want just a little bit, you know. And, hey, your divine doesn't say that. What does your divine say? All or nothing at all. It leaves nothing out there.
Yeah.
But all.
It's yours.
It's yours. The divine says, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours. And you see, that's our self-discipline, is our divine. Our humanistic attitude is where we say, huh, you know. It's just like the little boy who said, I want to help my dad, you know, in Mr. Candle's story the other day. What did he do? Mr. Candle said to him, now, you go in and you tell your mother that you'd like her to tell you some ideas that to work with your dad. And so, I won't do it. I know what I should do. But just, how many times you had a candle talking to you sitting on the table here? Now you go in there and you talk to your mom and let your mom talk to you. So the boy went in there and said, Mom, what should I do to get Dad to let me, you know, work with him. And then, what did Mother say?
What do you think you should
do? What do you think you should do? You see, and then he had to probe his own inner psyche, his own inner soul, his own inner beingness, his own inner divinity. At first, he wanted to look at Daddy. Says, get out of my sight, go play with your friends, I've got work to do here, you know, which is a normal way for people to react when people expect them to react that way. But then he went out there, and what did he expect his dad to do? He expected his dad to let him sit and watch quietly. Because this is something he could conceive for himself. So he could conceive of creating his father, letting him sitting there quietly and watching. Now his mother threw in a little goodie, didn't she?
Yes.
What'd she throw in?
To bring some milk and an apple,
you know? And so the son brought it on the behest of the mother, and the mother said it, but the father said, thank you, Mark, for bringing it, you see? Mm-hmm. Now, you see, we have such wonderful rapport with our divinity if we will just realize it's our divinity. And it's our divinity that says, I look good, I am beautiful, I am fantastic, I am strong, I am glorious, I am wonderful. And that's our divinity saying these things. And it's our humanity saying, but you're only 2 years old, you're only 10, you're only 15, you're only 100 years old. You know, your human self wants to pretend that you are limited. And your divine self says, hey, I never said that. And I'm your reality. This illusion over here of being limited, that's just your human self. And then the illusion of being perfect, that's your illusion of your human self too. You know why? Because you don't have the slightest idea what your divine self looks like. You don't know what your ideal spirit, mind, and body look like. You don't know what your original purity and integrity are. But your divine does. And that's why we want to get in contact with our divine, mm-hmm. and let the divine carry out the program, you know, carry out the program through us, and then you got it. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful when we just learn to have self-discipline and follow the program. Now, in a manner of speaking, I'm your mommy, and you come to me and you say, I hurt, Mommy. What should I do? And then I say to you, just say, I like me. I'm divine order and peace. And you say, but Mommy. But you see, you don't say that. You're like the little boy who comes to his mommy and said, I fell down and screamed, ah! And she's let me see. Oh, and she gives a big bloody kiss to the scratch and said, now go play. And it was all well. But you see, that's the belief in his mommy. That's the belief in the principle. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of belief we want to have as we say, I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace. When we have that kind of conviction, that kind of belief in I like me, you know, then it works for us. Then we have unleashed that genie within us, you know. And you unleash the genie by polishing the lamp, you know, and the lamp is, I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace, polish it all around, make sure you get all in there, in the labels and everything else in the lamp, make sure it's polished so beautifully, you know, and polish it every moment of your life. Every moment of your life, say, I like me, all is divine order, I'm peace. What more could you want to have? I like me puts you in the driver's seat. All is in divine order means wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you think, whatever you are, it's fantastic. And I have no care in the world. I'm peace. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you want? You got the whole package there. Now, we've worked you up to this over the years. We haven't given you the whole package as a matter of course over the years, because I was working on getting you to be like the child that says, yes, Mommy, you know, instead of saying, I'll do it my own way, you know, snippy. Some of you can be very snippy. You'll be very snippy with yourself or when you've been asked to do something. Oh, you didn't tell her to do that. You didn't tell him. You told me to do that, but you didn't tell her to do that. You didn't tell him to do that, but you told me to do that. Ha, ha, ha. Hey, hey, hey. If God speaks to you and says, do something, do you say, God, you didn't tell her to do that. You didn't tell him to do that. Not at all. You say, thank you, God. I'll do it. And you don't say, but you didn't tell her. You say, thank you, God. You and I are one. We are the oneness. And I don't need to have you tell anybody else. And I don't need to tell anybody else. I just live in my beautiful, fantastic, glorious world. And all the world looks upon me, which I created looking upon me, as living in my beautiful, fantastic, glorious world. And I cannot live in a beautiful, fantastic, glorious world and not, and I should not say in the positive, as I live in my beautiful, fantastic, glorious world, I see everything in my universe, beautiful, fantastic, and glorious. There is not an unhappy soul there. There is not an incompetent being there. There is not an incomplete dream or desire by anybody there. Everyone in my world is as fulfilled as I am, and I know it, because I created it all. Now, you say, in principle, Herb, that sounds pretty good, you know, and on the surface of things, it sounds pretty good, but in reality, reality? You mean you're reading the dumb books that have the dumb stuff in it, and you're calling that reality? Why do they call books F-I-C-T-I-O-N? Why do they call books fiction? Because they're not true. But they could be. Mm-hmm. They could be. And why do they call books autobiographies or biographies? Or, because that's fiction too. But why do they call that real? Because presumably it's supposed to be just the facts. But in every fact is an emotion. In every fact is a feeling. In every fact is a manner of expression which does not say black, white, black, white. It says gray, pink, orange, blue. It says all sorts of things, you know. Really. Yes, if we could just have been trained by parents who taught us to mind lovingly. And what does it mean to mind? It means we learn to be self-disciplined. Because you have to choose to do it when your parent says do it. That's self-discipline on your part. You have to choose to follow their directions or not. And if you choose not to follow their directions, that's self-discipline too. But it's certainly taken you in a very negative direction, you know. Now, today, you can practice. Now, I suggest that each one of you, all day long today, think of nothing else except 2 times 2 equals 4. 2 times 2 equals 4. And I'm not kidding you. 2 times 2 equals 4. Because as you think about this, you will think about all the things that I just said. It's like a little kick, little starter in there. And 2 times 2 is 4. Self-discipline. 2 times 2 is 4. I like me all in divine order. I am peace. 2 times 2 is 4. The world I see out here is a reflection of me. And it's wonderful, you know. And 2 times, you see, a simple little phrase like that sets you to be open to the divine within you being the absolute master that you are. Ellen, did that sort of explain it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's only a beginning, isn't it?
But
can you see, if we haven't learned lovingly to say 2 times 2 is 4 and made it a discipline for ourselves, we haven't got I like me, we haven't got I'm rich, we haven't got I'm filled with wonder and magic, we haven't got whatever we haven't got. But we do have I can't, I can't, I can't, I don't, I ain't, you know, we have all the contrariness. And so let's say 2 times 2 is 4 today. And let that be sort of a starter to get us kick-started on going and having a wonderful, wonderful day. So think these thoughts, know these thoughts, live these thoughts, And for the last 25 minutes, you have been in my loving heart, and I surrounded you with my love, because I love you. I love you.
I love you.